League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to the Texas Children's Hospital for the first hour. The second hour here, a big thank you to Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit, our presenting sponsor here. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a very personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Look, nobody wants to get in any kind of an accident. But if you get in a car accident, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, you could work in a refinery, you got to have representation. You got to be covered. And the Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, and we appreciate all their great support. All right, we're going to have a lot of fun the next hour here. Got a couple of guests in studio. We're live on Facebook, Soccer Matters. A couple guys I'm going to introduce here. One you're going to know. Another one we're going to introduce you to on this show, and we're really excited to have him here. Start with Eddie Robinson, partner on the Cube last night doing the Dynamo. Eddie's in studio here, the former Dynamo defender, also was a Major League Soccer All-Star. Sam Mbonu is a works for Afro Vibes Radio, and you do a whole lot of soccer. I call him Super Eagle Sam, but I'm going to make sure that I can pronounce his last name Mbonu because I have done some of the Super Eagles matches. And Sam, we welcome you and thank you for coming tonight.
Appreciate that, Glenn.
All right, we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to start with you, Sam, and just quickly, because I want my audience to know, you and I were at, like Eddie was, at the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final between the Dynamo and Philadelphia. I was sitting with J.P. Delacamer, and I look next to me, and I see the logo on your microphone, and I see you very passionately calling this game and working this radio. And I said, man, I got to meet him. And then we had a common connection. You have known of the radio show. Tell me what you do with Afro Vibes and kind of what you do soccer-wise.
I've been on the radio for a little while, you know, straight from Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria. I was with Beat 99.9 FM, Classic 97.3, and Nigeria FM 102.7. I produce Sports Extra, the on radio before I came to the U.S. I came to the U.S. because of basketball. So when I came here, I did sports on TV. ABN TV is a local station here in Houston. I did also with Vineyard Television too. Before I did a pre-World Cup show called Russia Roundup on Vineyard TV, ran for 8 weeks before the World Cup kicked off. I could have gone for the World Cup, but unfortunately, I lost my dad. So
I'm sorry for that.
Nigeria, you know, for the funeral. So coming back, I got hooked up with Afro Vibes, an internet radio. We streamed over 170 countries. So I produce and anchor the sports program called Sports File on Afro Vibes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So we got an international superstar.
No, and then this is, I mean, yeah. this is why I'm glad we met, because this is Houston. We have guys like that are so passionate about soccer, they have to be put out into the public a little more and crossed over. Okay, that's my whole connection with you. I saw you and I'm like, look, we want to get the Nigerian fans engaged with this radio show and the Dynamo. So we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. As I enter with Eddie Robinson, I'm going to start with you, Eddie, and then Sam, you're going to get the same question. What is the most important thought in your soccer mind at this moment?
I'm going to say the Ballon d'Or shortlist and the guys that didn't make it versus the guys that did. Karim Benzema is on there, and Ciro Immobile is not. Robert Lewandowski is not. I wonder who's voting for this. I mean, would those guys win? I don't know, but Benzema over those guys, I'm sitting in awe. I'm a bit in awe. I mean, there's so many things to talk about, but just right off the top of my head, that's the one that I look at. Like, there needs to be some transparency. Who's voting for who and what's going on? Because they need to sort that out.
Do we even care about these things anymore?
I mean, I do. I think it brings talking points, right? It's something it's to talk radio. About. It's controversy.
For sure.
Controversy is something to talk about. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, I mean, some of these players that are disappointed that they're not there.
Yeah. How about you, Sam?
I'm thinking about the busy schedule that the players encounter during the season. If you look at, for example, Liverpool played 7 games in 23 days.
Oh, by the way, you have to tell my audience who you support.
Yeah, I support Liverpool. Okay. That's not why I'm saying
just,
that.
Just to get you know, that out
they,
there.
They played. They went to London and played Spurs. They went to St. Mary's and played Southampton. They came back home and played Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. You know, and they played Chelsea doubleheader in the League Cup, and they went to Stamford. We played them in the league, and they went to Napoli and played Napoli. Then they came back to Anfield and played Manchester City. All these games are business, and now the players
That's
are
ridiculous.
Out on the road again for international break. You know, UEFA coming up with the UEFA Nations League. You know, the African players going for the African qualifiers. And they will come back on the 15th or 18th, and they have league games.
But there's no solution. You know, there's just too much money being made, right?
Too much money being made, but they are human beings too. They can get burned out, you know, and they will not give their 100% to the club that paid them this huge amount of money. For example, when a player get hurt on international duty, the club suffers. Mm-hmm. You know, the player will be out, the club suffers. So
look at even relative to the Houston Dynamo last night. They suffer when they don't have Ramel Kyoto and Albert Elias, right, Eddie? I mean, it's a completely different team.
Yeah, well, Liverpool's got a little depth, don't they? Yeah,
The busy schedule is so enormous, you know, on these players. So that's what's on my soccer mind at this moment.
Yeah, no, I love it.
Still tied at the top of the league. Right, and then maybe look at Spain to that point. Look at Spain. Look what's happening in Spain right now.
Barca have not won in 4 games.
Yeah.
Real Madrid are struggling, but now bring the topic of Eden Hazard.
Real Madrid's also lost 2 games.
They've not won in 4 games.
So let me ask you a question. Eden Hazard, stay at Chelsea? Because they're going to try to keep him there. Is that going to be good for his legacy in the future, or is it time for him to go to a mega club? Because I know Chelsea fans right now are cursing me.
I think it's win-win for Eden Hazard, because what I saw today was that they are in negotiations for a new contract there. What does that mean for him? That means more weekly wages, but more importantly, it means a bigger buyout clause. So if Real Madrid does come, instead of having to pay $100 million, they're paying $175 or $200 million, he's getting a cut of that. Him and his agent are both making money, and he's going to Real Madrid. If not, he's still getting weekly wages that are way more than what he's making now. I think it's win-win for him. But the way he's playing under Maurizio Sarri and what he's done with this Chelsea team is pretty impressive.
Oh, I love what Sarri's doing. For those listening in, 713-780-3776, if you want to contribute to the show, you can join Sam, Eddie, and I. 713-780-3776. So talk about Maurizio Sarri and what you think he's done at Chelsea.
I want to weigh in on Eden Hazard, you know, because Chelsea want to tie him down on a contract, which he may not leave near soon. When a club like Real Madrid come calling, you know, it turns the player head around and he want to go. And that will give him a shot into the Ballon d'Or, you know, even though Ballon d'Or now is not what it used to be back in the days, you know. But the fact is that Chelsea will be looking at that transfer from the business angle of it. If they let him go, he's in his final year of his contract. I think less than 2 years left in his current deal, and he make like £200,000 a week. So he may want, okay, if I want to go to Real Madrid, I will commit to you guys so you guys will get more money, you know, because you guys gave me everything. It goes, you know, this season already for Hazard for Chelsea this season. So he is performing at that level. And also, no more Ronaldo at Real Madrid. So he will be the star man there. You know, no more under Ronaldo's shadow. So when he goes to Madrid, you know, he will have a shot at Ballon d'Or and his profile will rise. So I think that Chelsea will want to hold him, get him that contract to get more money so that, you know, they will let him go.
Is it good business for these clubs, obviously, to be selling these types of players 2 years out from completing their contracts as opposed to 1 year out? Because it is a good bargaining position and place to be.
I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has to remember this is a business. The ownership groups, they want to make money every year.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's $10 million or 200 million. They want to make money at the end of the day. And if they can sell off Eden Hazard, and it's a win-win for both of them because they're getting more money. Let's say they get 175 million for him. They can go take 100 million and get a guy that's almost as good. And there's $75 million.
Look at how much they bought their goalkeeper after selling Coutinho to Real Madrid. Yeah. You know, he is the highest goalkeeper with the highest money, even though he hasn't proven himself at the world stage. But because it's a panic buy, you know, they went after him.
Boy,
and
there's
they got
a lot of panic buys. There was a panic buy for Jose Mourinho at Manchester United, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, so let me just remind who we got in studio. Sam Mbonu, Afro Vibes Radio. Obviously, he's got some great knowledge about soccer. Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. All right. As we all know, the United States didn't qualify for the last World Cup. With that, it provided opportunity to a lot of young players that would never have gotten that opportunity had the U.S. qualified. So I had Dave Sarakin on the show, the U.S. interim manager. We're expected to get a manager in another 2 or 3 months here, finally named. Dave is the interim manager. He was on the show. He's elected to bring back for the friendlies that begin this week with the U.S. playing Colombia and, I believe, Peru. Michael Bradley, an experienced player to mix with all these young guys. Here's what he had to say. Listen to this and then let me get your reaction. Okay, guys? So here's Dave Sarakin on Michael Bradley, Brad Guzan's return to the national team for these upcoming friendlies. So Michael Bradley, Brad Guzan, will walk into a locker room with a lot of these young guys. And the dynamic will change, I don't think any question. I mean, I think from the outside I can probably predict that. Will you look at now some of these young guys? Because you don't want them to necessarily totally take a backseat either, do you? I mean, you want to see how these guys react now to some of these guys that have been in monster games for the United States and World Cups.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And again, that's a good point that you raised, Glenn, because that's exactly the reason to do it now. Because just think about, can you imagine that we don't include them and then all of a sudden a week before the Gold Cup I start throwing in these guys? I mean, that's just not how you build a team. That's just not the right way to introduce new players or new people. So exactly that. I was very curious to see who would emerge as leaders amongst the young group. And now when you get people like Michael and Brad and Josie, unfortunately he's hurt, but you know, you start adding guys who are big personalities but big experienced guys, I expect that Tyler and Weston and Miazga and these guys are going to continue carrying on in the way they should. And they should take a back seat and begin to establish themselves within any of these guys that come in.
All right. So, Eddie, you start first. How about reacting to that from Sarakin?
Well, I just don't understand the backlash, why people think Michael Bradley's washed up. They obviously haven't been watching him play this year. I think his club soccer has been as good as it has been. The problem with it is he's not scoring 15 or 20 goals a game, 10 or 15 assists, I mean, per season. There's no statistical measurement that us as Americans love to use. We're so caught up in stats versus sometimes when you play that position, it's all about the eye test. How many plays does he break up? How much ground does he cover? What's his pass completion percentage, especially in the attacking half? How many of passes are positive in a positive direction versus square backwards? And these are things that aren't measured by numbers and statistics, but when you watch him play, I absolutely, if I was in Dave Sarakin's position, I would have him in the squad. Absolutely. No question.
And I would agree with you. But, Sam, a lot of people are going to say, look, it's about your current form. His team's not making the playoffs. He hasn't had the best of years, okay, with his teammates after winning the MLS Cup. I'm not a believer in this whole thing that you have to be playing well for your club. There's differing reasons why people are brought into national teams.
Is Messi not the perfect example?
Yeah, I think we're all insane to think that, well, if you're not playing good at your club right now, you're not coming back to the national team. Every national team picks guys that are not necessarily always in the best form. Miroslav Klose is one. Wasn't even playing for his team and leads the World Cup in goals scored. So that's a pretty extreme example. Your thoughts on it?
But I think it's good to mix up your team with youth and experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they should be looking at Christian Pulisic to be the next big thing in the U.S. men national team. But then bringing in Michael Bradley, you know, and those young players look up to him, that this guy has been there and done it. You know, he has the experience. He has led his team, both as a captain and the club side. So bringing him in, I don't see anything wrong in that. If you look at play, you know, other national teams, they mix up youth and experience. And right now, U.S., for them to have missed the World Cup, they need a Michael Bradley kind of player, you know, to instill that confidence in these young players that, listen, that next World Cup, we have to be there. Even though he may not, you know, get there because of his age is not on his side, you know, other players may come up. But for now, they are rebuilding. They need a Michael Bradley kind of player.
Agreed 100%. In studio right now with us, and Sam Mbomu with Afro Vibes Radio, Eddie Robinson on the Cube, former Dynamo defender. Polarizing figure, though, Michael Bradley. And I do you think that's because people think in some ways him and Josie were a bit privileged with the national team program?
I don't see.
Because of his father being the coach?
No. His father wasn't the coach of Roma when he was called General Bradley by their fans.
I'm talking specifically with the U.S. because there's something that, for some reason, rankles, and I don't understand it, a certain percentage of people.
Sam just said about the respect that the younger players have for him, that they're going to listen to him. They know his quality, and they know his success, and they know that he's an honest person. A lot of times he rubs people the wrong way because he's honest in his interviews. Yeah. He says things that people don't like, but he's speaking the truth. It is what it is. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. So you got to respect him for that. And I think that, you know, who knows? Maybe somewhere down the line, this is Dave Sarakin's attempt, you know, from an Ernie Stewart standpoint, saying, I want Michael Bradley involved because at some point I'd like him involved on the staff side. Outside of not just being a player, but being
he's going to be involved in the World
next
Cup
soccer, right?
Qualifying.
There's no question
that this guy's going to be involved in World Cup qualifying. There's no question. You're going to have to. I mean, Josie Altidore is another one. I mean, tell me who our number one striker is. It's Josie Altidore.
That Josie Altidore for now.
Bobby Wood made a strong statement this weekend, didn't he? A couple goals.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to see that. Yeah. There's no doubt. But a couple goals on one weekend doesn't vault you above Josie.
I think Christian Pulisic, you know, the U.S. men's national team should build the team around him. Mm-hmm. Because the young guy with Borussia Dortmund, he's doing great things. Even Jurgen Klopp, you know, admires him so much that he want to bring him to Liverpool. You know, so he's a talented young
player.
Where
do you like him? Playing as a wide man coming inside or as a, somebody in an internal position in midfield making his runs out?
He can play anywhere the coach wants, depending on the tactic the coach wants to deploy on the match day. You know, if the coach
wants
to play.
What about you? Where do you like?
I want to play him on the wide.
Yeah,
right. On the wide, he come in just like, you know, if the coach want to play a 4-4-2 diamond formation, you know, he can play him on the wide, and he come in, he got pace, he got skills.
Yeah.
You know, so they should build the national team around him, not necessarily around him, but make him that star man.
Yeah, and listen, if you can kind of leave him to do a little bit less defensively if you have a Weston McKennie in the midfield beside him. I mean, look at how he's been doing. I mean, he's just absolutely blowing up. So I think there's just so much potential with young players, and it's important that they have the Michael Bradleys in there with the team to help these guys grow and mature.
I like the fact that they're bringing those guys back now. I don't think there's any question. And anybody who is arguing against that, I would love you to call at 713-780-3776. We're going to take a break here. Again, presenting sponsor, second hour, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. They bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. DaspitLaw.com, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And also, as always, a big thank you to Bud Light. Bud Light is brewed deep in the heart of Texas to be shared among friends all over Texas. Enjoy responsible AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. All special edition Texas packaging, brewed in Texas. And by the way, it goes good with barbecue. East Texas barbecue. It doesn't matter. Central Texas. South. Doesn't matter. Goes good with barbecue. All right, we're going to take a break. We got more to come with Eddie Robinson, Sam Mbomu. We will keep talking soccer here. We'll take your phone calls if you are listening in now at 713-780-3776. Time for a Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture break.
ESPN 97.5.
listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Young with the cross, and it goes in! Alexis! That's his Manchester United moment at last! In the 90th minute, in the shadow of the Stretford End, has he saved Jose Mourinho's job? An extraordinary match at Old Trafford. Manchester United 3, a heartbroken Newcastle United 2.
Alexis getting that goal, Manchester United 3 second half goals to come back and beat Newcastle 3-2. Hey, by the way, the place to be in Edo, and by the way, there were Manchester United fans down there watching that, is King's Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Jay, King's Court, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Eddie.
Yeah.
They're going to cater the show next Tuesday.
I was looking forward to that one.
I know, it's my fault.
They got some good food.
I'll make it up to you.
Like Indian food, that's the place to try.
King's Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires, covers all the leagues from around the world. They got a rooftop deck, spectacular view. British and Indian pub style cuisine is also a winner down there. And you know what? If you simply were going there just for Indian food, you would not be making a mistake. If you were going just for Indian food, you would not be making a mistake.
Oh,
the food
brilliant.
Is amazing. King's Court, Houston. .com. Eddie Robinson, Sam Mbobu,
Mbonu.
Mbonu.
Yeah.
Sam Mbonu. Say that three times, Eddie. Sam
Mbonu. Mbonu. Mbonu.
Mbonu. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Mbonu or Mbonu?
Mbonu.
I'm smarter than I look, Sam. Don't let this face
Mbonu. Anyway, Sam is Afro Vibes Radio. So let's go back to Manchester United, Jose Mourinho. From the start. A couple years ago, I said, not the right fit. It's fitting a square peg into a round hole. Not the right fit historically for Manchester United. Not the right fit for attacking players. Isn't a teacher. He is not going to deal with young players that well. I think a lot of that has come through. How important was this win for him, Sam, over Newcastle? And do you think he keeps his job?
I mean, Jose Mourinho, tactically, he's a genius. You know, I give it to him. You know, if you look at his track record with, small stint with Benfica, Porto, Chelsea, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, now, you know, United. But if you look at United historically, this is a team that had...
Well, let me stop you. How are you a tactical genius if you're accumulating attacking players and putting them in a very negative tactical system? How is that being a good tactician?
All right, let us not...
I understand what he's done at Inter. I understand what he did back in his days in Portugal. I'm talking about right here, right now
Manchester
with
United.
Yes.
The problem is that, you know, he is not managing those players well. You know, if you look at... if you just oppose Jose Mourinho with other managers, you know, the kind of relationship they have with their players, you know, the players want to go out there, give 100% for the coach, you know, and for the badge.
So is he outdated? Is he outdated working with the young player like a Paul Pogba? How can he get down in the mud and wrestle with Paul Pogba, who's a 24-year-old,
and
he's the manager of the team? He has to stay above board, doesn't he?
He asked the board to give him some players, and the board refused. I think Jose.
He also got players.
I think Jose is angry with the board led by Ed Woodward that, I asked for this player, you guys didn't give it to him.
Take me back to Pogba and dealing with young players. I want to talk about what he has right now. We'll get to what he wanted, and wants in the future. But what about just dealing with young players?
Dealing with young players, he doesn't have such a good track record of dealing with young players. He like finished products in the players who are already at their prime. Come in, let's, you know, win together. But Pogba is a player that even Ferguson saw that this player, he is, you know, so stubborn, he's unruly, indisciplined. I will let him go. There was a game that Manchester played, and Pogba was then still in Manchester before they sold him. Ferguson, you know, suited up one of the Da Silva brothers, a defender, to play as a midfielder, to show how he did not have faith in Paul Pogba. and Pogba got angry, and that was when Ferguson sold him. You know, Figgy had already seen that Pogba is indisciplined as a player.
To his defense, that was a good five. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time, but he still have that.
He was a kid then. That, I mean, he's 24 now.
But he hasn't grown up. He still have that indiscipline, you know.
But
in
you know
him.
What? He's a French World Cup. Hey, Jose, I'm a French World Cup winner.
But he wasn't the most influential player in that French team.
No,
that's he true. Wasn't. That's true. Eddie, what about your thoughts on Jose?
Pogba's selfish. I don't know if you guys recall last week what Paul Scholes had to say about Jose Mourinho. He absolutely destroys him.
Yeah.
Says he's embarrassed for the club. He should have been gone after the loss to West Ham. That it's ridiculous. But then, it was a couple days ago, did you see what Gary Neville had to say?
Yeah, he goes after Pogba.
Yeah, he says this. He says, you have to start looking at the people who are appointing the manager, not the manager.
Yeah.
It's the people who are bringing in the players, sanctioning the deals, the people who are overspending on players, the people who are allowing the tail to wag the dog. The dressing room is leading what is happening. Get some control back. Get some leadership. And that's where I think Jose Mourinho has dropped the ball. His man management, as Sam just said.
Yeah.
Look at Pep Guardiola. I think that Jose Mourinho is too proud to say that he could learn a lot from Pep Guardiola, the way he deals with the young players, with the quality that they have at Manchester City, that he has to leave not only the players out of the 11 each week, but even out of the 18. And that's with Kevin De Bruyne injured, right? There's going to be somebody else sitting out here in the next week or two. It's man management. It's making sure, though, that you have players that can be managed. I don't know that Paul Pogba can.
He can be managed, just that Jose hasn't really... You know, up his ante on that part of management, you know.
But I don't think he's capable of that. I think he's set in his ways. I don't think he's capable. I mean, he's blaming everything and everything officers now getting him to the game late. I mean, you know, he's erratic.
Yeah, he's erratic.
He's bigger in his mind than Manchester United. That's the problem.
He doesn't make a lot of excuses. He doesn't take responsibility like other managers do.
Yeah, remember... 3 years ago when he was winning, when he did all the excuses and was working the press, he's a master at manipulating the press and taking the pressure off his players. Not so much right now.
No.
And maybe he was. Sam Mbonu and Eddie Robinson in studio right now. We're talking Manchester United. Okay, so if you had to boot one of them, Ed Woodward, Jose Mourinho, or Pogba, who's the first to go?
I don't think Pogba. I mean, you got to just the quality that he does have and the class that he does have. It's
big Adidas guy
maybe,
too, by the way.
Maybe it's time for Ed Woodward to step aside. Maybe it's time to get some fresh ideas in there and some fresh blood in there. Just new idea, go a different direction. I mean, look what it does for players. You'll find players that are struggling that did so well. I experienced a lot of it seeing my ex teammates who were really good start to struggle, find a different environment, and all of a sudden. They're right back to where they were, right? And maybe that's the same in the front office.
We watched one last night who benefited from a change of scenery. And I'm not saying the Dynamo did wrong moving Will Brun on because it was the time for them to move him on.
Yeah, maybe
it's
time.
Look at how he's benefited from a different environment, a different pressure, a different situation. You speak to him now and do an interview with him, he's a completely different guy. It's amazing. It's amazing.
There are sometimes some players may not really feel at home in a particular club, and the club and philosophy may not really fit into their kind of play. And we've seen that happen. Look at Kevin De Bruyne, and when he came to Chelsea, you know, he wasn't that player. But now look at he is the star man with that star quality for Manchester City. Look at Mo Salah, even though he's struggling right now, you know, to regain his last season form. But we saw what he did last season. You know, sure. So sometimes you know. It's not. It might not be the coach. It might just be the club philosophy, you know, in the way they do things. And that may not really fit in with the player. And he will go to where he feel at home, he feel welcome, and he thrive.
That's a great point because human dynamics are affected by a number of different things. Now, by the way, who doesn't want to play for Jurgen Klopp, Eddie? Come on. That guy. If that guy came in this room right now and said, hey, Davis, run through that wall, I'd run through that wall for that guy. I love watching the spirit that guy brings. Now, he may be in a little bit of trouble now. You know, they're overworked, as you said. They may be losing a few games. Milner's out. Let's see what happens. But that guy's inspirational to me.
He is.
Jose, to me, is like if he walked in this studio right now, the room would get dark and the clouds would start coming around us. Like, what were those things? What was the things in Harry Potter? What were those things? Dementors. It would be like the Dementors in here.
And you know,
watch Harry Potter already?
Sometimes the
no,
coach.
I don't.
Your daughter.
I'm actually looking at Liverpool's upcoming schedule, their next three games. Huddersfield, Red Star Belgrade in Champions League, and Cardiff City. So
that's good games to recover.
Got a little bit of a...
Yeah, a little bit of easy games.
David,
you know.
Wagner.
Yeah.
Huddersfield, former U.S. international, yeah. German-American. So tell me about Jurgen Klopp and what you love about him and the spirit and the culture he creates, Sam, because you're a Liverpool fan.
All right. Jurgen Klopp, I want to take a little bit back to when he was at Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund and Liverpool had a similar kind of atmosphere. If you look at the fans, their commitment, you know.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So that kind of rub off on the team. That's Liverpool
you
fans
know
also.
I want to know a quick secret, and I want to do this because I want to prop Brian Ching up. I called the U.S. national team Germany game there. It was freezing cold. It was a night coming up to the World Cup. It was one of the last times for players to try and impress Bruce Arena. And it was absolutely freezing. The atmosphere was unbelievable. It was close to 70,000 people. The Germans were amazing. The U.S. got beat that night, I think, like 4-1. But Brian had a great game simply because he was holding the ball well against these two trees of center backs. I don't remember who it was for Germany. But anyway, that was my Dortmund mom. Been in that stadium, and that culture, soccer-wise, for Dortmund, Germany, second to none. So go on, Klopp.
So Klopp was born to coach Liverpool. When he came to Liverpool, he wasn't cocky. You know, they were like, are you the special one? Look, I'm the normal one. You know, I have a project at Liverpool.
I love the
you
normal
know,
one.
I'm the normal one. I'm the normal guy. Just a normal guy, you know, with his charismatic smile on his face.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here, you know, for a project. You know, we might not win trophies, but we will walk and bring Liverpool to where they were once. And you saw him his first season. He lost the Carling Cup finals to Manchester City. The second season, he went to the Europa League. He lost to Sevilla, and he went to Champions League finals. You know, even though he hasn't had that kind of luck in winning titles, but you've seen the way he has transformed Liverpool to that team that whenever they play at Anfield, they are a nightmare to visitors. Liverpool has not lost at Anfield in 18 months. You know, they have not considered an Anfield in more than 20 games in the league. So he has brought that team to the point where players now want to say, I want to come and play for Jurgen Klopp. And you will see the way his demeanor rub off on the team. The players want to play for him. They love him. When they score, they want to go hug him. You know, at the end of the day, it's about titles and trophies. But then, you kind of look at the positive vibe the coach bring to the team.
He's an inspirational leader.
It's a culture. What we don't see every single day is that people want to work for the club. The way that he treats the backroom staff, the way that he treats the waitresses in their cafeteria, the way that he treats the lady that sits in the front of the stadium and greets everyone that comes, every single person on that staff, every single person on that team, they're all held to the same standards.
Yeah.
And there's humility. They're required to have humility. They're required to have respect for each other and what each other do, and that it takes everyone to make the club successful. And that's what I like.
What you're saying, who would want to do otherwise? I mean, you think about how important that is, and people that don't do that.
Don't care. No, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered.
We saw how Jose treated one of the backroom staff, the medical lady.
Oh,
you know how horrible he treated her.
What was her name again? Yeah.
You know, and she later went to court to, you know, see if she can get some, you know, compensation. At the end of the day, you have to treat everybody in your team with respect, and it rubs off on the team performance.
Oh, those situations, he was trying to lay the blame on other people for things, and people that blame, not accountable, they're not inspirational leaders. What you said, Eddie, to me is so important.
Culture.
And by the way, that's just common decency. A lot of it,
yeah,
a lot of it's just common decency.
It's ignored nowadays.
All right, Matias Almeida, San Jose. Did that one shock you?
I was dumbfounded for the struggles that San Jose.
By the way,
has had.
Me and Victor could have broke that because he was at my friend Danny Gonzalez's restaurant.
Crazy. You should have done it. Just for the struggles that San Jose has had, not just on the field but in their front office, and Dave Cavall and the struggles he had, and then he left and went to the Athletics, the Major League Baseball, and I'm surprised that they got a coach of that quality that wanted to be there, that wanted to come because of the culture around San Jose right now.
Well, I think a lot of it's lifestyle. He's made it very clear. He wants to live in the United States. He wants his family secure. I don't think any question. I think Tom Marshall was mentioning on the show before, he couldn't believe Mexico didn't interview him, because if it were up to the Mexican fans, they would want him hired. I guess the question for me is, I'm not as concerned about him getting the right support and understanding the player transaction side of it. I think he can be help there. He's going to have to handle some contracts and play with players that maybe he's not going to wish were there. But I think he'll make an impact. And I think my biggest concern is will they have enough resources to bring him sort of the players he wants? Mm-hmm. And here in Major League Soccer now, would you guys agree or disagree with me? When you hire a manager now, in this day and age, you got to hire a manager that's connected, can bring you players.
Yeah, you're right. When I look at that coach, Matias Almeida, it reminds me of Diego Simeone of Atletico Madrid. The passion, you know, the commitment, you know, what he does on the sideline. Such stuff is what your players want to see, that pragmatic approach. You know, he, during his playing days, you know, he's a player that can break up plays. He has that stamina, that strength. You know, he can go and wing the ball from the halfway line and initiate the attacking play. So he will bring that to the bear, you know, for San Jose Earthquake. And he can also attract good talent from Argentina. You know, he won UEFA Super
Argentina
Cup.
Argentina or the Mexican League. As
yeah.
well.
Yeah, he can. He won the UEFA Cup with Lazio, won the Coppa Italia, you know, won silver medal in the Olympics when Nigeria beat Argentina. Yeah, Argentina in the 1996 Olympic final games. And he was manager of River Plate. He has taken, you know, bad teams and made them look good.
That's
you
right.
know, brought them, you know, from relegation to promotion.
Three in a row. River Plate, Banfield, and Chivas. Five trophies at Chivas, and then he ripped through three MLS teams to win the CONCACAF
and he won
Champions League.
The Serie A Player of the Year, you know, when he was playing. So San Jose Earthquake didn't make no mistake in hiring that dude. He will revive that team.
I think it's exciting. I think it's a coup for the league. I think his personality, the long hair, the whole thing, I think is good. It's good for the league. I think it's good for the league. It's intriguing to me to see if he can make it work. Right?
I just wish that we knew what he was promised. Mm-hmm. What was he told that he was going to have? What kind of resources is he going to have for his staff, for signing international players, for signing DPs?
But Eddie,
that's the question.
That's the question. You know one thing. For major league sources, we cannot reveal that information.
Even if we knew, I don't know. If I knew, I'd reveal it. Absolutely.
I'm just joking. We got to be more transparent with salaries, with all this stuff. People love to talk about that. They're talking about it on the air in NFL games. They're telling what the guy earns and if he's playing worth what he's earning. We got to do this stuff or we're never going to be big time. All right, let's take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Sam and Bonu. Eddie Robinson, they're tearing it up in here tonight. Great segment. Take a break. Colt's going to take you out. And as we go to break, though, I want to remind you about the King's Court down in Edo. So Chelsea supporters group are down there. Manchester United, the Houston Red Army, started by Tom Clare, Jesus, and the Chelsea Bayou City Blues down there. Real Madrid Peña's down there. It's 903 Hutchins, Shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. That's Eddie Mendoza. King's Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires. Jay's going to bring up Indian food next week. King's Court, Houston.com. Say hello to Jay. Get in there. It is a great spot right near the stadium. It's good fun. And those guys will take care of you down there. Everything reasonable in there. Bud Light Break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. No more, no more. Tom Marshall is reporting that Medio Tiempo is reporting that Mexico will play Argentina in La Bombonera in November. Now, there's a road trip. Eddie. Beef.
And
Come on, that's
just put me on the street
red wine.
Next to some food trucks and just leave me be for 2 days.
All right, let me get this read in real quick. Again, Kings Court in Edo, the place to be, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. KingsCourtHouston.com. And then also a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're our second hour presenting sponsor. First hour is Texas Children's Hospital. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. I want you to know they're bilingual. All these sponsors on this show, by the way, they love soccer. So they're supporting your game, so they're bringing you 2 hours of soccer talk. Okay? No ifs, ands, and buts about it. I'm on the air because of these people. 713-780-3776 is a number. So back to Daspit Law Firm. They got you covered 24-7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Now, in commercial break, we always have good discussions in here. And Victor Ariza, who's an integral part of this show, you got some good thoughts on sort of the reaction so that we can understand how big this is in Mexico and Latin countries, this Matias Almeida signing as manager for San Jose. Give us a little taste of what you've been hearing today.
Yeah, well, first, you know, it came to mind because the way you guys are talking about club, the humility, the way, you know, when you talk about uniting the whole club, the backroom staff, the groundspeople, you know, those are the things that he was mentioning in his press conference. Now, you talk about the way this is being covered, and, you know, Tom mentioned some of it. I mean, this is like an NFL story here, right? I mean, the way a signing would be in the NFL and in MLB throughout Mexican media, throughout Fox Deportes, throughout, you know, ESPN Mexico. You know, the primetime shows, the equivalent of what NFL NFL primetime would be here, right, on SportsCenter, the Mexican version of that. I mean, he's a guest. He's talking to everyone. He's, you know, everything you're asking for, right? He's revealing the details of his deal, what he wants to do. He went on Fox Deportes. Like Tom mentioned, you know, got a little bit of a spat there with an ex-Chivas player. Which he kind of called him out a little bit. He has, you know, come out to his own honor. He won't back down. This is a guy that, you know, he will say, you know, like he told him, he said, you know, there's things you're saying that to me sound are coming from Chivas headquarters. And listen, the biggest thing in Mexico right now, the people want him because he is a man of the people. He's won over the hearts of Mexican fans and of Chivas fans. And even take it this much farther, America fans won't mind him for the Mexico coach because they respect the guy. I mean, this is how much respect he's
beloved
throughout Mexico.
So that brings up a good question, and this is great information, and I just want to put this in here as you're saying that. Here's a tweet from Federico De Michelis. He says, at Glendave Sock, Almeida in Banfield was champion of Argentina's second division without stars. He trusted homegrown players, very smart, organized, offensive thinking. It was delightful to see that team play very good football, which leads me to this, Eddie. I wonder how influential he could be with the youth development set up in San Jose.
Well,
here's another asset you might get from
them. You got to think about the difference between it, the youth set up in Mexico and South America versus the youth setups here. It's still got such a long way to go, and he's talking about a project. And the one thing that you got to understand about Major League Soccer and sports in the United States in general, there's not a lot of patience for projects. There's just not. If you're not winning right away, people aren't going to be happy with you. It doesn't matter the progress that you're giving. If you go from last
in
the
MLS,
league to 10th
you got
league,
leeway, though. I think you got a little more leeway. Don't you?
I don't know. I think
they're going to give this guy a couple years to get this thing
going.
Hopefully
he's judged based on the quality of players that he's allowed to bring in. Because until I see it, I'm not going to believe that they're going to commit $6, $8, $10 million for him to go out and get two or three DPs,
great,
young DPs from Central America or South America that could be like a Joseph Martinez.
This is going to take a
Miguel
radical.
He's going to have to work wonders with average or slightly above average players because he's not going to get a lot of great ones.
Yeah, because I don't think we're expecting San Jose to have a radical change in thinking all of a sudden and start splashing cash everywhere, right?
Yeah, but there is untapped talent in Mexico that won't cost that much, that he has the connections to, that I think the Dynamo themselves, you know, have collected. Maybe FC Dallas has been going that way. There is untapped talent in Mexico.
100%.
And you think those guys with the way – I mean, he mentioned one thing, too, in his press conference yesterday, that the Players Association, something Mexico's been trying to get. Players want to play somewhere where they have rights, you know, where the check clears on time, that kind of stuff. That could be a huge attraction
of course,
to come over to Major League Soccer.
All right, let me switch gears here a little bit because I want to get Sam back into the action here. And I want to say to you guys something very, very simple here. Your favorite Nigerian player of all time. And I'm sure
that's
somebody's going to say
JJ
mine.
Okocha.
JJ?
Not JJ.
Why not JJ, Sam?
No disrespect. JJ, you know, was up there when he was active. But I'm looking at Kanu Anko.
I thought you were going to say
you
Kanu.
Kanu Anko, looking at his influence on and off the pitch, you know, that's what we are looking at.
Tell me what he's done off the pitch, because we all know. Yeah, because that's interesting for me.
Kanu Heart Foundation, where, you know, he helped, you know, kids that their parents don't have money, they have heart condition, to get heart surgery.
Because he had a heart condition.
He had a heart condition. And looking at Inter Milan, let him go when he had that heart condition. He did that surgery. They said he's not going to play soccer no more. Then Wenger gave him a chance at Arsenal. And he was a hit at Arsenal. You know, and because of that, he set up a heart foundation, which helped kids that have heart problem to get to access a medical facility abroad. So it's a huge thing for him, and for that, you know, I pick him as my greatest Spartans player of all time.
Me and Eddie went JJ, and I hear JJ comes through Houston a lot. So, look, we got to wrap it up. This has been a tremendous night here, Eddie Robinson. Thank you very much. Sam Mbonu of Afro Vibes Radio, thank you. Victor, great contribution here at the end with some good commentary on the whole Matias Almeida thing. And you know what, Sam? We didn't even get to talk about how we're going to influence the Nigerian football community, so that means you're going to have to come back again.
Okay? Bring him back. Bring him back.
No, absolutely.
He's better looking than me. So.
Guys, Eddie Robinson, Sam, Victor. Great job tonight, guys.
Appreciate that.
And also a great job, Michael Hernandez. We wrap it up here tonight, reminding you that the Daspit Law Firm is the presenting sponsor of the second hour here. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. For Eddie, Sam, Victor, our guests, Doug Hall of Houston-Harris County Sports Authority, and Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. I'm Glenn Davis. You can get the podcasts of this show at podcastarena.com, iTunes, Google Play. Yeah, Google Play. All right, that's it. Good night, everybody. Until next Tuesday.
Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.